Thanks for allowing us to be here today. It's a real joy. And I'd like you to open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Would you open up to Proverbs chapter 4 today? I have been in the ministry. There we go. That's why most of you didn't laugh at my jokes. You couldn't hear me. I've been in the ministry. Last year celebrated 30 years as a pastor. By God's grace, I still feel like I'm just a learner. And God is so good, amen? We thank Him for His love for us. You know, my favorite verse is found in Psalm 100 and verse 5. For the Lord is good. Think about that for a minute. How's He been good to you this week? His mercy, that is His loving kindness, is everlasting. In His truth, that word there is emet, the Hebrew word. It means His faithfulness endures from generation to generation. What a wonderful God we serve. I'd like you to stand this morning for the reading of God's word. Would you please stand? We're going to be reading verses 20 through 27 of Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. Hear the word of the Lord. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Let's pray. Father, we just ask now that you'd bless our time together. May it be a pleasing time, a good time for your honor, for your glory, Lord. For it's in Jesus' name and for His sake I pray these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, you feel free to follow along if it helps you to pay attention, if you will, to keep notes. I provided a handout there for you, so please help yourself to that. Notice verse number 23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Here's a picture of a water source, if you will. Maybe an artesian well. How many have ever drunk out of an artesian well? Isn't that the greatest water you've ever had? I like to hike, not like your pastor. Your pastor's like a hiker. I'm a person who walks on a path and then could get lost very easily. But years ago, when we lived in Wisconsin, we went on an excursion, a snowshoe hike, and it was a beautiful day, unfortunately, because it was like 37 degrees outside. Still a lot of snow, but it was very heavy. You ever been on snowshoes? Anybody do any snowshoeing here? It's exhausting, especially when the snow is wet and heavy. So we tramp through the snow. And by the time we come to the end, I'm just maybe 200 yards away from where we're done, and I had to stop. I was profusely sweating. I was panting. It was just terrible. And what was so funny about that? So finally, we get to the end of the trail, and right at the end of the trail, there's this artesian well right on the hillside. Oh, man, I'll tell you what, I've never forgotten that drink of water. All these years, it was just a beautiful thing. The water was clear. The water was cold. The water was running outside of the hill. It was great. Why was it great? Well, it was great because of its source. The source was pure, wasn't it? The source was a place where there was life. Your heart is a water source, if you will. Now, it's interesting. Of course, we're not talking about our physical heart. That's amazing too, isn't it? I suppose we could say, keep your heart, watch your heart. We live in a society of heart disease. That's in my family. But consider this about the physical heart. It's a hard-working marvel. It can keep on beating automatically even if all other nerves were severed. And what a beat. It beats about, the average, about 75 times a minute, 40 million times a year, and 2.5 billion times in a life of 70 years. At each beat, the average adult heart discharges about 4 ounces of blood. This amounts to 3,000 gallons a day, or 650,000 gallons a year, enough to fill more than 81 tank cars of 8,000 gallons each. That's amazing, isn't it? It's pumping forth or bringing forth issues of life, namely our blood. But here in this context, we see a father writing to his son, King Solomon, writing to those who would succeed him, if you will. And all through chapter 1 through chapter 4, he is making a plead, if you will, to listen to wisdom, to listen to God's word. In fact, let's go to Proverbs chapter 1, and let's take a look at verse number 7. This is really this is really what we would call perhaps the key verse. Notice what it says here. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, if you drop down to chapter 2, notice what he says. He says in verse number 1, my son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, so that you, notice here, incline your heart to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. And it goes on and it says, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then will you understand the fear of the Lord. For the Lord, find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Now, our chapter here is no exception. There are a lot of very fervent words that the Father uses for attaining wisdom and attaining the Word of God. Notice here in verse number one, hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, and forsake not my law. Look at verse 4 very quickly. Let your heart retain my words, he said of his father. Get wisdom, get understanding. Notice here, verse 5, do not forget, do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Verse number 6, do not forsake her. Love her, and she will keep you. And so here we see very intense language. He is doing everything he can. Of course, we know this is written by the Holy Spirit of God, so it applies to us today. It is a matter of diligence. Your relationship to the Lord should be a matter of great diligence. Your relationship to the Word of God and to applying that should be a matter of great diligence. So let me ask you a question this morning. What state do you find your heart in this morning? When you walked in the door, how could we describe you this morning? Could it be perhaps you walked in a little discouraged? Things have not really been going your way. Perhaps maybe you feel empty today. Maybe you've been a little doubtful, if you will, about certain things, certain circumstances, maybe even the Word of God. And perhaps the reason, maybe you walked in angry today. You are an angry person or a worried person. Perhaps you've been dealing with these things in your inner self, and on the outside, nobody really sees. They just see the plain old lovable you with a smile on your face. But inside, there's a war going on. And I would dare say that in a congregation of this size this morning, there are probably a number of you that are going through heart issues this morning. And so I'd like to notice in this passage of Scripture, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Be diligent to guard your heart. I'm just stating the obvious. Be diligent to guard your heart. Why? Well, because your heart is you. Now, it's interesting in the Hebrew language there, in our passage this morning, the Hebrew language has the idea of, above all, pay attention or guard your heart. While you're paying attention to all these things, particularly, above all, guard your heart. The word diligently is not in the original language, but it's really interesting because the word here is keep your heart. It means to watch over with care. To watch over with particular attention. And the idea here is watch over, particularly guarding your heart. So here's the picture. This is the best way my mind looks at this. It's a picture perhaps of a soldier standing watch, paying careful attention, or perhaps a prison guard, paying attention to what goes out of the prison and what goes into the prison. What goes out and what goes in. That whole idea there is your heart. You need to pay particular attention to what comes into your heart and what goes out of your heart. Now, I'd like to notice, first of all, your heart is you. Now, when we look at the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, when we are talking about the heart, we're talking about a tripart being. Now, we'll talk about that. First of all, your heart is you. It's your inner man. First of all, it's your inner thoughts, your mind. Pay particular attention to your mind. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks," that is, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As you think. I had a friend who said, "You're not what you think you are, but what you think you are." So let me ask you, what's been going on in your mind recently? Now, it's very interesting because as we look particularly of our thoughts and of our minds, as a pastor, this has really been kind of interesting to me because this really is an area where Christians, I think, give themselves the most liberty of anything. Why? Because it's so private. Nobody can read your heart or your mind. Now, if you're a teenager listening, your mom can, okay? Your mom. Just remember that. Seriously, nobody can read your mind. So you know what our natural inclination is then? It really then, if nobody can read my mind, and if I do not have the fear of the Lord, in other words, if I am not in constant state of reverence, and yes, even fear, well then you know what? I can pretty well think what I want about anything. And yet the truth is, if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you don't have the right to think anything you want. You do not have the right to indulge your mind in different things. And this really covers the whole gamut, doesn't it? It really covers what I think about life, what I think about people, the opinions that I have. Now here's another thing. I'm not going to ask Pastor Dave because it's too close. You know what I mean? But so Pastor Dave, you are safe. But I've noticed over the years that people really fall in love with their opinions. Is that the way it is in New York? I know in Michigan they're pretty hard-headed. I mean, they're we love our opinions. And you know, the funny thing is, we look at life through our own grid. That is, usually, our own experience. And you know, the older you get, the better you are at this, and the more you love your opinion because you have all these experiences. And yet, you know what? I'm here to tell you, you may be dead wrong. And our opinions, our experience, our vast source of knowledge, I mean, really, we are the experts on everything, aren't we? According to us. You know, I hate to say this, but you know, sometimes we even know how other people should live. We have great plans for how they should be. Am I hitting a nerve here? Yeah. You see, we need to give diligent thought to what we think about. Now, you know what? The psalmist in Psalm 139 says, "You know my heart, my thought afar off." God knows your thoughts. I know that's obvious, but we need to be reminded all the time. He knows what you were thinking this morning. Everything's open to Him. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 13. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. Hebrews 4, 13. "And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes." Now listen. "Of Him to whom we must give account." You and I will give an account for what we think. And so, particularly, watch. Watch what you think about. Does it meet this grid here? You know, here's another thing. We can not only fill our minds with going in the wrong direction, but we can fill our minds with so much fluff, mental cotton candy, can't we? Seriously, I wonder if we gave, I'm guilty. Here we go, right here, right? Oh, let's get on Facebook. Oh, look at that. I didn't know dogs could fly. Wow. And you know what? You know, honestly, we go on a trivial pursuit. And you know what? It's been a while since we've gotten in the Word of God. It's been a while since we really seriously meditated, thought about God's Word. Let me just say why this is so important, okay? Your mind. Because this is the realm where both God and Satan work. This is where all of the spiritual activity goes. Do you understand what I'm saying? Say amen. It is. Why are we told in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17, when we put on the whole panoply, the whole armor of God, that we have the helmet of salvation? And that we have the shield of faith. Both of those really speak to our thinking. To think like a Christian. to protect our mind from that which would invade, which is not good. And then also, the shield of faith, having much to do with doubt. And by the way, faith. That's a wonderful word, isn't it? Faith. I'm either going to, with my mind, make the decision to believe God or not. Let's notice another thing. My wife said I would not finish today. So just in case I don't, which really I don't at our own church from week to week, we will be continuing some of this tonight in a teaching session. How's that? So I'm going to holler louder because I have to teach this tonight. So I'm preaching this morning. Let's notice the next thing, your affections and emotions. Your affections and emotions. Pay careful attention to what you want, to what you love, and to how you feel. Now, I understand sometimes feelings come whether we like them or not. But usually, if we really think about this, feelings a lot of times, not all the time, but feelings really follow what we think, don't they? Oftentimes, they follow what we put in here first, what we think about a matter, what we think about a person. And so, honestly, we need to guard against having feelings that are wrong. Well, you say, I can't help it. I just feel the way I do it. Well, you know what? In most cases, it's one of two things. Sometimes, I understand, it's a response to a bodily condition. Sometimes depression is like that. But really, I am accountable to live through the feeling in a godly way. Instead of letting that feeling take me away from God, I bring it into subjection, just like anything else, to glorify God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whatsoever you eat, whatsoever you drink, whatever you do, we could probably put the word feel, do all to the glory of God. This is very important for us to understand this. Sometimes we cannot control our feelings, and I'm not a psychologist, a psychiatrist, but the truth is sometimes our emotions aren't controlled, and because our thinking is not controlled. And our will, we'll talk about that a little later, our will to think about something in a biblical way, we don't choose the right thing. Am I making sense here this morning? And so our feelings, let's notice, and I did talk about that, and that is our will, our volition. What we choose to do or think about. Be very careful to choose what you do. In fact, in our text here, it's interesting, if you'll take a look, he even brings this up, verse number 26. He says, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be affirmed or be established. The word there, ponder, means to weigh something out. And so our volition really must bring us to the point of our thinking, if you will, to choose what is right. Now this week, we're going to be talking about the whole gamut of heart issues. I encourage you to come. We'll be talking about an angry heart. What about an angry heart? What do you do with an angry heart? What kinds of anger? Depression, a joyless heart. We'll be talking about a joyful heart as well this week. We'll be talking too tonight about that is if I ever finish this. We'll be talking about an open heart or a humble heart. An open heart, a humble heart will save you. And I'm not talking about just in terms of, which it does apply, but in talking in terms of your life. How do you accept rebuke? Some of us are not very good at it, are we? So your will, this is a term that reflects the totality of the inner person. It is the real you. Trust in the Lord, verse 3 of chapter 5, with what? All of your heart. There's the volition. Trust. You bring yourself to the point where you believe what God says and you embrace it. Guard. Keep a watch. Keep a watch on your heart. Well, secondly, because your heart is yours. I know that seems kind of obvious. It took me a long time to think of that. It's yours. It's no one else's heart. Number one, you decide what goes into your heart. This is the whole first part of the chapter. That's what the Father's talking about. Make sure that you choose what goes into your heart. How about Psalm 119, verse 11? Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You choose what goes in. Let me ask you something. Last week, what's been going into your heart? Are you having struggles with purity? So what's been going in there? Have you been engaged in online pornography? Or watching something on television that should not be? What's going in there? Have you been hypercritical of people? Well, then let me ask you a question. Now, some of us can do this on our own. We're really good at it. But who you been hanging with? What you've been listening to? Who have you been listening to? What's going in there? Where's your mind been? Have you been fretful? Worrisome? Well, then let me ask you something. Where has your attention gone? What have you taken into your heart? Have you been overcome by the circumstances or overcome by the greatness and care and love of our God? I know, listen, I know this is not easy, for sure. It's a struggle. It will be a struggle until we see our blessed Savior one day. Amen? What a day that will be. I always love to say, I tell you what, I'm going to love being in heaven. My Savior... I'll get to thank him face to face. But then the next greatest thing is, I'm not going to sin anymore. I have a confession to make to you. You're looking at an old sinner. Because Dave said I'm old. Otherwise, I never really thought of myself as being that old, but. You decide what goes in. And then, let me just say something. It's your heart that decides what comes out. You decide what goes in, but what comes out is a reflection of what you've allowed to go in. Jesus said this. You can mark this down. Matthew 12, 35. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the treasure of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. And then later on, he even said it affects our words. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so, your heart is yours. You are the one who decides what goes in. God's not going to force us. Now, He may place his chastening hand upon you to get you to see his way, his view of things. That's what we do as parents, right? But really, it's up to you. And our problem is we blame shift and excuse. Well, you know what? If it weren't for my wife, I mean, she just brings out the worst in me. Or you could say my husband. He really brings out the word. You don't know the circumstances I live in, Pastor. You know, I know that I say things that I shouldn't say. I know. I have a rotten. I know it, but it's not my fault. Really? Wait a minute. Is your heart we're talking about? Nobody is going to take over your heart. It's you. It is you who will stand before the Lord one day. So let me ask you something. What is in your heart? Let's notice another thing. Because your heart isn't trustworthy. Okay? It's the place where God operates, but it also is the place where Satan operates, but it's also the place where I operate. And two out of those three are not trustworthy. Only God is. Your heart is deceitful and wicked. Jeremiah 17:9, you know it. Say it with me. The heart is deceitful above all things. And what? Desperately wicked. Who can know it? Theologian, and I thought this is really cool because we have a living illustration of a castle here. I like this. I'm sure you just did this for my illustration. However, this is what theologian John Owen said. He said, however strong a castle may be, if a treacherous party resides inside that is ready to betray at the first opportunity possible, the castle cannot be kept safe enough from the enemy. Traitors occupy our own hearts, ready to side with every temptation and to surrender to them all. Wow. Now, let me just say, I want to go back. We pay attention to a lot of things. Mothers, when your kids are by the pool or at the mall, you're keeping a sharp eye. You are watching. Some of you at your job, if you didn't pay attention to what you do, things could happen and they wouldn't be good. If you're a heavy equipment operator and you don't pay attention to those people who are around you, it could be bad, right? If you are an accountant and you are adding numbers but you don't pay particular attention to those things that you need to, you don't check your work, you are attentive. God says, above all of that, all of what you pay most attention to, it's your heart that stands above the rest, that you have to watch out, you have to keep a sharp guard, not only from what goes in, but what comes out. Here's my next one. Your heart is dark and futile without Christ ruling it. Your heart is dark and futile without Christ ruling it. I can't emphasize this enough. Today, if you're here under the sound of my voice and you are not sure in your life and in your heart that Christ is yours, if maybe you're here today and you do not know Christ, you have not had that encounter with God through Christ, that is salvation, then your heart is in a dark state. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19, take a look, just a few up. It says, the way of the wicked, that would be you and me. We are all wicked when we are compared to Christ. The way of the wicked is as darkness. And they do not know what makes them stumble. Because they're away from God, they don't have the Spirit of God operating in their lives with the Word of God. And so they just go through life dark. And by the way, it gets them in trouble. You know, that really describes our society today, does it not? We listen to the news, we look at the news, and you say to yourself, how could anybody do this? What kind of shape have you gotten yourself into just by foolish decisions? It's because they don't have the controlling and convicting influence of the Holy Spirit of God in their lives. And you know, let me say that might be you. If you're here this morning and you're just sitting here, listen to me. If you're sitting here this morning and none of this is making sense and you don't even want to know, you don't want to hear, I'm talking to you right now. I am talking to you. Pay particular attention to your heart. what it's telling you. Let us turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, if you will. We've been going through in our congregation through the book of Ephesians. It's a wonderful book. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 17 through the end of the chapter really describes who we were before Christ and then who we are after Christ. And verses 17 through 19 really focus on the natural man, the people who are away from God. Notice what it says. It says, I say, therefore, in verse number 17, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Notice here, in the futility of their mind. That word there means vanity or emptiness. They are a people who, according to God, are going nowhere. They are in spin cycle in this present world. This is all there is for them. And that leads them to a host of things that do not please God. Notice verse number 18. Having their understanding darkened. The idea there is it's a perpetual state of darkness. Listen, Christians, let me make an application here, okay? There is really no liberation from that unless the gospel is given. We are the ones who Christ has chosen to be the bearer of the light. And by the way, that light is not about us. It's all about Jesus. Amen. And you have that gift to share with those who are in darkness. Now, I love this. Verse number 19:20. He says, but you have not so learned Christ. This is not what Christ is all about. This is not what you've received from Him. You have a new life. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Now, guess what? You as a believer have the potential for a renewed mind. Verse number 23, it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Colossians tells us to be renewed in the knowledge after Him. Scripture, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It tells us not to be conformed or squeezed into the mold of this world, but to be constantly renewed in our mind. Christian, that's where it is. Day by day, hour by hour, letting the Spirit of God take us and use us and turning our hearts toward Him. And allowing Him to renew us, to renew our thinking. Why? Because we need it. We can never forget. And this is, I've been saved now for over 50 years. I know, I don't look that old. But you know something? Every day it's a struggle with the flesh. Same with you, right? Doesn't matter how long you've been saved. You know, one thing about getting older, and again, I'm only talking about that because Dave referenced me as being old. But one thing about getting older is you become you better. It's a possibility of you becoming even a greater sinner as with time you season. If you're not continually fresh with the Lord every day, can I get an amen from the gray haireds? That's right. Amen. So let me ask you this morning, what about your heart? What's in it? Take a good look. Ask the Spirit of God to open your heart to Him this morning. Ask the Spirit of God to reveal what it is. Secondly, notice the patterns of how you talk, of what you do, of what you decide. If you have a little hard time with that, ask the person who's closest to you. Every now and then I'll ask Catherine, all right, am I grumpy? Yes, you're grumpy. Oh, man, I have to talk with the Lord. And the same is true with you. The same is true because God wants sons and daughters who are like Him. And God wants you, if you don't know Him as your Savior, listen to me, give your heart to Him. Trust Him. The only place that your heart is going to take you is down and away. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for your word. Father, it is incumbent upon us as people who believe, people who call ourselves children of God, to keep, to guard diligently, to pay attention to what's going on the inside. We can be so busy. We can be so distracted. We can be encumbered about life's problems and responsibilities that we forget to take time with our Lord, to spend time every day with Him in His Word, and then throughout the day, as Enoch, to walk with God. And Father, I just pray for hearts here today. I don't know how you've spoken, but Lord, today as your people come before you, might they, in a very honest way, confess any sin that is or shortcomings that might lie buried deep. Father, we pray for any of those who may not know you as their Savior, whether young or old, they'd come to know you, Lord, for whom the know is life eternal. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.